My name is Kirsty, and I am the host of the Mindset and Me podcast. Formerly, I'm an accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, and wellness expert. I'm obsessed with helping you navigate the messy middle and find clarity in every season of life. Informally, I'm a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the life lessons and learnings from the most incredible guests to help you gain clarity and get into an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. Welcome back to the Mindset and Me podcast. On this week's episode, I'm joined by the incredible Lauren Arms. I've known Lauren for years now. I'm so honored that she has come on the podcast. She's been an incredible mentor to me through many stages of my life and is truly an inspiring woman. She is the most incredible CEO, and you guys will probably know her from the company she founded called Well To Do. She founded it back in 2014, and it was kind of the wellness hub for anybody who was in the know, wanting to find out what was going on in London when the space was blowing up. I mean, that's only 10 years ago when we think about it, and actually this industry has exploded. Lauren now works to help people create their dreams through their offerings, believing in themselves, and essentially creating a roadmap that makes you an expert within the wellness industry. She sold her company in 2022 to Fit Insider, who are an American company. So she also has real life experience in how to grow, scale, and sell a business. I'm honored to have Lauren on the podcast this week. So welcome to the podcast, Lauren. How are you today?
I'm good, Kirsty. Thank you so much for having me. This is so special.
Oh my goodness, it's been a while in the making and I'm honored to have you here. Lauren is a true inspiration to me. I've personally worked with her, and obviously if anyone hasn't met her or know of her before, you're going to be obsessed by the end of this episode, like we all are.
Don't set me up too much.
Yeah, sorry, okay. So to start off with, obviously I do like to kind of really dive into people's background. Obviously you are Australian and you moved over here, and you know, you were at the forefront of the wellness scene. So let's go back in time. Let's take me back to that and what kind of propelled you into that place.
Yeah, so I moved to the UK 11 years ago now, which is crazy because I was an Aussie backpacker who planned to come for 2 years and then go back to my life in Australia. When I got to the UK, I realized that I had a personal interest in wellness that I never had acknowledged before. And I think I, on reflection, put that down to, you know, wellness, if anyone listening has ever been to Australia, is such an inherent part of lifestyle in Oz because it is very outdoors. You know, I grew up with my dad growing organic vegetables, and it was not a thing for me. It wasn't a label. But when I moved to London, when you live in a city like London, you need to find your tribe of people who have like-minded values and interests and hobbies. And so naturally I gravitated to, you know, a local yoga studio and the cool healthy cafes and things that were popping up at that time, which, you know, 10 years ago were few and far between. Yeah. And at that time I was working in a corporate job, which was really unfulfilling. And I'm sure plenty of people can relate to that either presently or, you know, in the past, being in a job where you're just physically there, but, you know, emotionally and mentally elsewhere. So I started to get quite obsessed, is probably a negative frame around wellness, but obsessed in a really positive way with the wellness industry and the way it was kind of burgeoning in the UK and the fact that it was an industry. And we talk about the wellness industry now like it's existed forever. Really, when I was first starting to look at it, it wasn't an industry. It was a kind of new trend. So I started this blog called Well To Do London, and it was just my way of kind of documenting cool new places to go and brands and things within the wellness sphere that I thought others would be interested in. I started an Instagram account, and this was all as a sort of, I say side hustle, but I had no intention of it really being a business. My objective at the time was to find a big idea. I wanted to start a business, but I didn't know what it would be. And so I thought, well, if I just start this blog and have a way of almost an outlet of my curiosity about the wellness industry, then eventually I'll stumble upon my big idea. And well-to-do gained momentum, not hugely rapidly, but certainly the audience was growing and people were subscribing and they were interested. And I suppose sort of 6 months into doing that, I realized like maybe this was the big idea. Maybe this was the business. And so well-to-do was sort of then evolved into what it became, which was very much an industry insights platform following wellness trends. It became less about, you know, sharing cool things with consumers and more of a conversation about the business of wellness, which I became then really passionate about as far as the entrepreneurial and founder and investor side of things and how it was becoming this, you know, multi-trillion dollar global industry and how many opportunities that presented for me, but also for so many others who wanted to turn their passion for wellness into a business.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I remember it as well. I followed you like just years ago, just out again, curiosity, and was obsessed with wellness. And I think it's really interesting to say that it was a trend and it is a very young industry. And I feel like you were really at the forefront of that. And your curiosity obviously created an impact kind of immediately for people. Like even when I remember following you, and it was just, again, just because I was interested in that, not thinking strategically, not thinking like a business. I'm curious to know when the change was, when the evolution was that you thought, hang on, there's something here.
Yeah, I think to be honest, it was probably when some of the big legacy brand players started to pay attention to those wellness trends. So initially, the wellness industry was more of a like mom and pop type business industry where there were like cool little independent almond milk brands being produced in glass bottles and like your local cold pressed juice cafe of which I'm sure you remember the many that kind of came and went, sadly, because I don't think there was that investor backing yet because it was a trend. I think investors were thinking, well, let's see how long this trend sustains itself and whether it will implode or whether it will continue to expand. And even like conversations around mental health and emotional well-being. I mean, Headspace had not been born yet. Yeah. Like all of this came later. And I think it was probably around 8 or 9 years ago, so kind of 2 years into my business journey, where I noticed big brands, like the perfect example would be, you know, when Alpro started to make oat milk and almond milk. And it was like suddenly a big player with big shelf space in a supermarket had, you know, entered the realm of well-being. Mm-hmm. It was when SoulCycle started expanding globally, when Lululemon started expanding outside Canada and the US. And, you know, it was for me those kind of signals that if the big players are spending big money on expanding their presence, then this is a long-term play and a very exciting one at that.
No, definitely. So essentially then, when you kind of recognized this and realized it, what was the first step? Or do you remember your first, I don't know, like partnership or brand deal or client? I think they were always so close to our heart, aren't they? We always remember the first thing.
Yeah, I think it was probably the first summit that we held. And I was so nervous about it that I actually had everything within my capacity to launch this summit, but I panicked and I had a bit of imposter syndrome and a bit of fear. And so to kind of appease that fear, I buddied up with two other ladies who were interested in the space. One of whom is a friend of mine, Jules Miller, and she went on to launch the New Co, which is an incredible supplement brand. Mm-hmm. At the time, she was like between kind of jobs and thinking about the New Co. Anyway, we got together and we launched the Business of Wellness Summit. And we held it at a WeWork space in Moorgate. And before we knew it, we'd sold 500 tickets. I mean, it was absolutely mental. We got a little bit of press, not loads, because no journalist really wanted to write about the Business of Wellness Summit. They were like, this is way too niche. But like the people who wanted to be there found it. It was like there was this undercurrent of yearning for conversation about well-being from a business side of things that no one had ever done before. Mm-hmm. We kind of had this gut feeling it would work, but then it did work. And I think, like you say, like we all remember that moment where you're like validated in your thinking and you're not just like in your own mind thinking this is a good idea. and people came. It was amazing. And then that kind of propelled the event side of things in the future for well-to-do.
It's incredible. But I think what I really liked about it is it was really relatable, because I would say wellness has a slight stigma to it, doesn't it? That it's, you know, you have to spend a ridiculous amount of money and be seen at these. I mean, even like now, like Air One in LA is just, people are paying like, what, $20, $30 for a smoothie? I just cannot.
Oh, wow.
I just can't. No matter how much money I have, I couldn't. I'm a Yorkshire girl. There's no way. but I really liked that there was no elitism in the brand. And I remember it so vividly and so well that it felt like you can be part of our community. It doesn't matter what you look like, what you do. Your finances, we're here to support you in that way. And that's what I think genuinely set you apart.
Well, that's really kind. And I think, you know, again, for me as an Aussie small town girl like you, wellness for me was never a certain image, although it came with that. And we certainly wrote about that. But we also just spoke about the importance of the wellness industry and generally how badly the world needed these conversations about mental health, about physical health, you know, as a way of responding to some pretty massive health crises that we see in the world. But that at the end of the day, like, wellness can be literally stepping outside and feeling the sun on your face. Like, I often say, like, outside is free. And that is a version of well-being that, you know, we always celebrated with our brand, and certainly we wanted everybody to feel like there was an opportunity for them in the wellness industry, and that coming to our events or reading our newsletters was a way of uncovering what that opportunity might look like, which is why we forayed into jobs in the wellness industry as well, because what we realized is that some people want to start a business in wellness, but then there are lots of people who actually just want to work for a wellness brand and kind of be immersed in it that way without having to take all the risks. So yeah, it was like there's a space for everyone in this amazing industry if you're passionate about it.
That's a perfect segue, Lauren, into my next question that I have written down. Talk to me about your passion, because you have this innate drive, and like whenever I've been to any of your masterclasses or I've done your course, and you know, it's this, it's really hard to describe because it's not aggressive, it's not like loudest, it's not shouting, but it's like the most knowledge and the passion seeps through. So talk to me about where that comes from.
Oh, good question. I mean, I'm naturally a very ambitious and very driven person. I think it's in my DNA and in my stars and in my human design. I'm all of the things that you'd imagine from like a A-type personality, Capricorn, you know, generator, la, la, la. Yeah. But I suppose I just genuinely love, and, you know, as I transitioned from running and owning Well-To-Do to selling and exiting that business and into this space of coaching and holding space for wellness experts and practitioners, which is what I now do, like that passion has just grown even more because I get to work directly with the people who are changing lives in this industry. And although big brands do that as well, there's something really high touch about working with somebody, you know, like you, who goes into an organization, actually sits with people and holds that space for them. And, you know, the functional health practitioners that I work, like there's just so much passion in that industry or that part of the wellness industry. And I just naturally feel this like yearning to help those individuals turn their passion into something that makes money as well, because I'm just such a big believer that doing good in the world and doing something you're deeply passionate about should also come with an abundance and a financial return that allows you to keep doing that sustainably. So I suppose it's a combination of like innate drive and passion, but also just the amazing like return that I get on my investment of energy in these clients when they get to change more lives. And I see that day to day, and that feels amazing. Makes me want to keep doing it.
I love that so much. Yeah, thank you for that answer. It's perfect. So talk to me about how you exited Well-To-Do. So obviously you sold the business, and we will then obviously get very much into how much of an insane coach you are, which you really are. But I'm it's something that I am not very knowledgeable about. I've never had a business that I've sold. I've never experienced that. I know people who have gone into great amounts of pressure and found it, the whole process, incredibly, incredibly strange as well, because that's their baby. They develop that and then you let go of that. So how was the whole process for you?
Yeah, it definitely felt like that. And like you, I had no idea about selling a business. I actually didn't go into building well-to-do to think, thinking, oh, I'll sell this at some point. It was actually a natural, I almost liken it to, and because you used the analogy of it being my baby, I almost liken it to this point in my journey of like growing and nurturing that baby as getting to a point where it was ready to fly the nest. It was like, my little baby has grown up and I'm now no longer the right person to guide and mentor it into the next chapter. And it came to kind of a natural transition point for me. And interestingly, it was the same year that I gave birth to my first son, Lockie. And all of my goals and success metrics kind of changed with that transition into motherhood. And I found myself kind of feeling ready to hand over the reins for well-to-do. And it was a very emotionally charged transition because we had a team and we had to go through some redundancies. And these were people who were like family to us, you know, and they're still people that we so love and admire and are so grateful for their contribution for building well-to-do and really believed in the vision. And suddenly, you know, I had to make this somewhat selfish decision to exit the business and hand it over. And at one point, you know, I actually thought I would just shut the business down. Mm. It just felt like it had run its course in a way. And at the same time, I was running a very successful coaching business, which had gone from being, you know, what I thought of it as being a side hustle to me really craving it being the main thing. And I knew that that business model would be a much more flexible business model with which to kind of enter this new chapter of motherhood. So it all kind of came together. It was also in the COVID era where we couldn't run events anyway. And that was a massive struggle for the well-to-do business. And then everything just kind of fell into place in a way. We started a conversation with Fit Insider, who were our biggest US competitor. And it just felt really natural for them to take ownership of well-to-do and take it to the next level in as much as they were already doing that and had a really clear vision and plan for the future. And so, albeit a long and pretty stressful and quite emotionally taxing process, which I wouldn't like rush to do again, it ended in the best way possible, which was that the well-to-do brand has lived on. I mean, I still get the well-to-do emails, which is super weird, but really nice because I'm like, I didn't have to do anything to create this. And actually one of our senior editor, Laura, still writes for Fit Insider, which is great. And yeah, the legacy has kind of carried on, which is so satisfying. And I also felt it was a really nice credibility piece as a business coach because there are so many business coaches out there who, this is not necessarily a criticism, but I just felt it was an elevation of my skills to be able to say I've also built and sold a business in the wellness industry to then also have that as a part of my credentials or my toolkit to be able to say, and I can help you grow a successful business too. Just felt really satisfying as well in terms of, you know, the outcome and actually having sold the business.
It's almost come full circle for you, and you do have that great, you know, a wealth of knowledge, but also there's just the integrity part of it, which I think is what's really nice to be around you and to work with you, definitely.
Thanks.
So I really want to touch on your coaching because I think what you've created gave, I mean, I have no idea how many people have gone through your course, but it is phenomenal. It's called The Expert Vantage and I am still obsessed with it. It's amazing because we all have those moments where fear and self-doubt creep in and you constantly reiterate to always remember that you are an expert within your field and people want your knowledge. But sometimes, you know, being human, you can doubt that a lot. So I'm really curious to know, first of all, you know, the creation of the Expert Advantage and how it, I mean, it still, I think, separates itself from the industry. And I really recommend anyone who's in this space to do that course. But where, how that was born and kind of the evolution of that. And, you know, you offer so many other things, but I know that's kind of at the center and the core of your business.
Well, interestingly, the Expert Advantage evolved into consistent clients. So although all of the same stuff is in there, I mean, our brand is consistent clients, but it is very much about building, like you say, trust in yourself and overcoming that that imposter syndrome that I think is... for some reason, well, not some reason, I think I'm quite aware of why it's so prevalent amongst wellness experts and health practitioners, but it really addresses that and helps you to step into or put or almost like don the hat of business owner with confidence, because a lot of practitioners will own their skills as a practitioner, like I'm a meditation teacher or I'm a yoga teacher or I'm a life coach or I'm a nutritionist, but won't give themselves permission to also say I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner. And at the end of the day, that's what you are. You have to sell your service. You have to be confident that you can help people. You have to master the art of marketing and communication. And so that all starts with really instilling a belief in our clients and helping them instill that belief in themselves that they have such value to share in the world and that there's, you know, a correlation between a desire to change lives and a love and passion for selling and marketing. Yeah. And although they often feel like two really different things, like, oh, I love what I do, but I hate selling, they're actually the same thing in that if you really want to help people, you've got to give them an invitation to come and work with you. And that's just another way of saying selling, right? Like, here's the next step that you can take if you want to get this result. This is who I help. This is how I help people. And this is what you need to do if you want to take that next step and get my help to realize that transformation in your own life too. Like, that is selling. I just gave a perfect example of a sales script. And yet it sometimes feels quite detached because there's this fear of coming across as too pushy or, you know, trying to convince someone to work with you when actually there are millions of people out there who need your help, but just need you to let them know that it's safe for them to take that first step with you. And that's kind of at the core of the mindset piece around what we do. And then, of course, we give all our clients the strategies, the marketing tools, the systems, the automations, the things that make running a business like this just a lot easier and more seamless and more, I suppose, energizing rather than draining.
Yeah, you definitely do. It's, I mean, it's fascinating. I think it's very much a holistic kind of full 360 approach, which is great. In terms of selling, I mean, I've got a background in media, so I actually enjoy selling and having the conversations. And if it's with a company and a new company that I'm pitching to, and sometimes it can be quite a like hard process to get through, you know,
you're really... Why do you think you like selling?
Oh God, you put me on the spot now.
I know, I do this because I host a podcast where I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm going to be the host now.
We switched, perfect. I like... Because I have confidence in what I'm offering, first of all. So I know for a fact that I'm going to be able to deliver this in a way that will make such a difference to your company. But similarly, I like the excitement of it. I like the drive. I like pitching. I like creating something that's bespoke. It like fires me up, which is why I'm working now. Like I told you, I'm doing these days with different clients to help them build their pitch and their strategy around like how to actually go and approach a company. Because it's, to me, it's second nature. I did it in my old job, but to actually... It's not common knowledge.
Yeah.
And I just love that every company is different. And so I feel like I might be delivering similar things in certain ways, but they're all completely different in terms of targets and ROI and KPIs and what we're working towards. So it feels good. Yeah.
Yeah. And just hearing you say that, there are two things that I observe. One is that, you first recognize that you know you can help. And I think that's that confidence piece of like believing in the service that you have to offer and knowing that it's valuable and knowing that it works. But the second thing is like, if you can enjoy pitching, I think part of that, and hopefully you will agree, is that you're comfortable with hearing no. And I think when people think about sales, they think I've got to get a yes all the time. And if I don't, I'm bad at selling. And actually, most good salespeople get no more often than they get yes. So they're just good at hearing no. And that's where you kind of take that personal attachment and emotion out of selling. And you decide that you're just going to see it as like almost a fun game of Monopoly. It's like, we're just going to be playful about this. And if it's not a yes right now, that's okay. Like it won't be the right fit right now. And maybe it's a yes later on. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. You know, it's all good. It's not personal. It's just being in business. And that's got to be a big part of like enjoying the process of pitching, right? And the excitement of like, which way will it go? Like, will this be a win or will it be a learning?
I mean, it's just, I've had more no's than yeses. So it's exactly that. But I think for me, there's always like, I always ask, what is the gift in this situation? There's always a lesson. Or, you know, I made a great contact and they moved to a new company and they said, oh, I had a conversation with this girl at one point and let's get her in to have a conversation here. And I think that as long as you try to find like the lesson and the gift in it, it's always going to be a win, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I feel like we're covering so much. Getting all of our tips. We're firing through, guys. But one thing I did want to touch on, which you are brilliant at, is how to show up. I have some people I work with and it can be quite confronting. When life is hard, because life can be hard, how do you show up consistently and what advice would you give for anyone who's maybe in that space right now listening?
I almost feel there are three layers to this. I think the first is that I often remind my clients that running a business happens in the context of life. So it will feel heavy when there's heavy stuff going on in your life. It's hard to, you know, if I had a difficult morning, if I, you know, woke up with a headache or I woke up to some horrible news, it's difficult to then show up like this on a podcast and smile and carry on. It's difficult. And I think the first step is recognizing that rather than thinking that it has to be two separate things. If my client comes to me and says, I've got this tough thing going on, like I welcome that. I welcome it being a space in which we can hold that grief or that angst or that worry. But I think there is a time and a place to, and this is, I guess, the second layer of it. There is a time and a place to challenge yourself to start to separate emotion from business. And this is, I suppose, a more masculine approach. And I think the way that you achieve it is to ensure that as part of becoming a successful entrepreneur, you become a successful human. So it's like this third layer, which is realizing that building a business is a journey of personal growth and development, and that making time for self-care practices or to take, you know, 5 minutes to breathe. I mean, I challenge myself, although I'm not an early riser, to get up at 6, which is, you know, 45 minutes before my son wakes up, to just potter around the house. Like I don't always have a yoga class or a meditation session in mind. I don't always drink hot lemon and water or have a green smoothie. Like sometimes I literally just unpack the dishwasher and gather my thoughts for the day. And that's part of becoming a successful business owner. And sometimes we treat those as like extracurricular activities. Like if I have time today after I get everything done that I'm working on in my business, I'll get out for a walk. And I'm guilty of this, right? Of like not prioritizing these. But what I try and remind my clients is that it's actually part of their job description, especially if you are a space holder in inverted commas, i.e. you have a job where your job is to help and support other people. Because that is heavy work. Yeah. Whether you're a consultant, a strategist, or you're a sound healer or a breathwork coach, you know, it's mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual. And so carving out white space in your day to just be, think, be creative is actually essential. And so I think then it's not this message of just pushing through the discomfort. It's saying, today I need to just take things a little more slowly, but it's not that I'm going to do that to at the detriment of my business growth. It's actually seeing that as an opportunity to grow your business even more, because a more energized version of you, a more self-aware, a more self-compassionate version of you is actually going to be the better entrepreneur and the more successful business owner. Mm-hmm. So I think it's realizing that life life is happening. Building a business happens in the context of life. Knowing that sometimes you've got to kind of carry on and push through, but that also, you know, creating space in your day and in your business strategy to grow yourself as a human being is the thing that's going to enable you to do that, because you'll have greater resilience, you'll have a greater sense of self, you'll know when you actually need to pause and kind of regulate your nervous system a little bit, or whether you need to reschedule something or recalibrate. But you'll be able to, when you need to, I think, show up when it matters most, and be the person who can push through the things that you need to push through, like showing up, being visible on social media when perhaps you don't feel like it, because you've prioritized yourself and the care of yourself through that process. Does that make sense, and does it help?
It makes perfect sense, yeah. And it's really important. I love the challenging part still, because I think it is in your masculine energy, but I find it hard if you were to say as a business owner to not be in that energy. I'm quite, even though I'm a projector and a Pisces, so I'm essentially the polar opposite to you, I don't really feel like I operate in that way though. I've got a lot of get up and go. Like, I get up early because I have a dog, so I don't have a choice. But every day, and I'm out on the walk. But actually, like, it's, you're saying the dog walk in the morning, that centers me for the day. Like, I come back in, I go to the gym, and I'm like, I'm ready to start my day, and it's like full pelt energy. But I thrive off that, knowing that you have, how lucky are we, how privileged are we to be able to create these opportunities for people, and that's our work.
Yeah. There's a really good book that I loved and recommend called Discipline is Destiny, I think it's called. Maybe double check that, but it's by a guy called Ryan Holiday.
I love him.
Yeah. And I think it's Discipline is Destiny, but it reshaped my thinking about discipline, because discipline previously to me felt like a very masculine thing that maybe I was too focused on, getting things done, being scheduled, being routined. And actually what he describes it as is the biggest gift, because things like being disciplined around a meditation practice, or getting outside every day, or eating a healthy, nutritious breakfast that sets you up the best way possible, all of those things become a gift for you emotionally, spiritually, and then support you in your masculine pursuits as well. So it's like, discipline doesn't have to feel like a punishment. Discipline can actually be about giving yourself the gifts that sometimes, you know how like most of us will have experienced that feeling of like dropping the ball on something that you know is actually makes you feel amazing, and for some reason you just stop doing it. Yeah. You lose the habit, or you get in your own way, or you self-sabotage. And getting back to that disciplined habit every day, or regularly being disciplined about doing that thing, is actually a gift and an exercise in self-compassion. So recreating your perception, or shifting your perception of what discipline actually means, can be a really positive thing for someone who feels like they don't want to be in that masculine energy all the time, or always be building from a masculine place, or have no flexibility in their life. I think you can have both and feel really genuinely fulfilled, but also be better at kind of riding the waves that come inevitably with building a business, because it is a roller coaster.
There's no other
as
way
is
to
life,
describe.
Right? As is life,
right? Right. So, for anybody listening who's just starting out on their journey, or maybe they're in a corporate job and they're thinking, actually, this is exactly what I want to be doing, what would you say is step one?
Oh, step one. I mean, if it's specific to the type of business I help people with, I think it's really understanding what the impact is that you want to have and what you want to be known for. Mm-hmm. So specific to being an expert in your field or a practitioner, it's really recognizing, again, how you want to transform the lives of the people that you impact, and just kind of going first on that journey of equipping yourself with a skill. Most people already have a skill that can be translated into a business. Mm. So it might even just be recognizing what is the skill that you already have. There may be like additional training or learning that needs to come with that, but there always is. It's a lifelong journey when you're in the business of being an expert or practitioner to continue to learn. So I think then it's about being specific about the problem that you want to solve. And to get clear on that, I always think, like, reflect on what really frustrates you about either your own life or people around you, the thing that people don't do that they should be doing that you know would massively change their lives, or a problem that you see, you know, that feels almost like a pandemic in itself. Like, everywhere you look, people are experiencing high functioning anxiety or are exhausted or are struggling to be consistent with exercise or movement. And just pinpointing that thing that really irks you or frustrates you, and then tying your skill to solving that is the first step, really, in building a business that supports people to create transformation.
Mm. Thank you. You have honestly just like so much knowledge. It's like, when I was preparing for the podcast, I'm like, how do I keep this to sort of like 30, 40 minutes? Because I could talk to you for about 17 hours. But that sounds like honestly the perfect place to end. And I always ask somebody before we finish, what is your one mindset hack that brings you back when you're feeling overwhelmed or stressed or a bit disconnected?
Just getting up a little earlier. Yeah. And like I said, it doesn't need to be something specific. It actually is just more about having that quiet time alone without distraction. Mm-hmm. Whether that is, like you say, walking the dog or just being outside or just making a cup of tea or unstacking the dishwasher. Like, I just think having some time to be present with your own thoughts and with yourself before the world starts buzzing around you is such a gift. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be joining the 5 a.m. club, by the way, because I've tried joining that club and I was not a happy member.
That's too early for me. See, I'm out of the door at 6, so maybe it starts with a 5 when I get up, but I mean, there is no way I am consciously choosing to set an alarm for
if
5
it starts
a.m.
with a 4, I know, right? Like, I don't not want to see 4 in my
no way, not unless you go to an airport, then that's absolutely fine, isn't it?
Exactly. And like, I also value so much that time in the evening to kind of decompress before bed. Like, I can't imagine being in bed at 9 o'clock so I can get up at 5 o'clock. Like, it's just got to be realistic. So yeah, even if it's literally half an hour before, you know, your house, or whether it's housemates or partner or dog or child, like, just giving yourself a little bit of space to just do something for you.
Thank you so much. I'll obviously share all of your details in the show notes and where everyone can follow you. But Anna, just, I personally want to say thank you for all the knowledge and all the expertise that you share.
Thank you, Kirsty. I'm such a big fan of yours too. So thank you so much for having me.
I really hope that you enjoyed that interview as much as me. Lauren is just incredible. She's so inspiring and so knowledgeable. And actually, it was really hard for me to keep a really succinct and value-driven podcast. I could have gone into so many different conversations, but as always, I want you to be able to listen with a notebook, with a pen, whatever it works for you, and just kind of take down really amazing bits of information that you can implement in your life and have something going forward. That's the dream of this podcast. So I hope this has helped, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. That you know what part of the podcast it is. It's time to get really comfortable, really cozy as we go into this week's mini meditation. And with so much going on in the world and so many options and so much information, it's really important to take a moment just to ground, to just settle where we are, give ourselves a moment, give ourselves a breath. And so I want you to have your feet firmly on the floor to feel that connection. And I want us to visualize the breath as we inhale, coming all the way up the body from the feet to the top of the head. All the way up the front of the body, you feel that expansion, you're welcoming in a new energy. But we want to find a deep relaxation. So imagine the breath falls all the way behind. Just exhale and just let everything go that you've been holding on to, releasing that tension. Imagining that as you're inhaling, you are bringing in those new concepts, those new ideas, those new thoughts that you have. And as we exhale, we're letting go of any self-doubt, any worries that we might have, anything that doesn't feel quite right. We let go. Really take a moment, really take your time to let go. Everything you've been holding on to that's been holding you back and keeping you in the same space. And I want you to imagine as your feet are touching the ground that you're almost taking this micro step forwards, that you can feel this momentum shift, this slight movement, very gentle. And bring in the breath now to the center of the body. With this step forward, noticing how you feel. And I want you to imagine the breath is circling in motion. This is our solar plexus space, our space for confidence, our space of passion, self-belief and self-worth. And I want you to begin to believe that you can do the things that you are setting out to do, that it is possible for you. The world is abundant, and it is possible for you too. You can do all of those things you've set out to do in this life. And I want you to gently put both hands onto the stomach, onto the center of the body, and feel the breath. Try not to force any breath, so we don't want to use the muscles to force the belly out or in. We want to take a moment to feel that connection. Breathe deeply. Breathe into this space. Know that this is possible for you too. And just gently relax the hands down, palms facing upwards, drawing in a nice deep breath together. And gently release. Thank you for being here. I'll see you again next week.